You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 356. Today is Sunday, January 29th, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt, and happy belated New Year to everyone and to you guys, too. It's been a while.
It has been. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good to be back on with you guys. So, guys, lots to cover on the signings and trades since we last did a show. But first, it is time to rise up and talk about the Falcons for a minute.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, we're all huge
Falcons
fans.
I mean that in a good way.
Yeah. The three of us have eaten up a ton of our mobile data, texting back and forth through this Falcons season. So we are a bit crazed about this. Curtis, let me start with you. Probably the craziest Falcons fan.
Half right. In your
heart of hearts, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely do you think it is that the Falcons will win the Super Bowl?
60%. Six.
Nope. Yeah. So why? Yeah.
I have to say I was nervous about Seattle. I was really nervous about Green Bay. And after the way we dominated Seattle on both sides of the ball, which was a great defensive team, and then the way we dominated Green Bay on both sides of the ball, which is a great offensive team, it might have given me more hope that we shut the Packers out for the first half of the third quarter than anything that I've seen in the postseason. So the Falcons are really, 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 really good. And I've just now embraced that completely. I'm always a nervous fan and I always pick at flaws, as anyone who ever listens to this podcast knows. But
no.
Every once in a while. But the Falcons have just... they've made me such a believer after these past two postseason games, which might be terrible and might be the kiss of death. But yeah, I have no doubt in my mind that the Patriots have played no one this year. Their schedule is incredibly easy. They've missed quarterbacks or Le'Veon Bell getting hurt or whatever. They have not had a tough schedule at all. So we'll see how they stack up against the Falcons, who are really, 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 really good.
Ham, how about you?
Yeah, I struggled with this number, and mainly because I'll never bet on the Falcons in a game because I have this belief that I can jinx it and somehow, and I worry about having any confidence in an Atlanta team in a situation like this. I think Kurt probably shares that in some ways, but having said that, embracing the jinx, I'm right with Curtis. I think I would give it a 50-50. I think this game is really a toss-up. I think the both teams are evenly matched. I think our offense is amazing. I think the Patriots offense is amazing. I'm going to flip it. I'm going to give the Falcons, I can't believe I'm saying this, I believe the Falcons have a slight edge because I actually believe our defense is better, just for all the reasons that Kurt said. Patriots are the number one scoring defense, but they played Landry Jones. They played Matt Moore. They played the Browns.
They had to beat Brock Osweiler in the playoffs.
They had to beat. Yeah, I mean, seriously. And they threw two interceptions and almost didn't. I mean, there was a point where that game was close, unlike any game the Falcons have played in the postseason. I think they got Bryce Petty when they played the Jets, and they got to play the Jets twice. I just think and the Falcons defense, if you were to measure it like the, you know, beginning of the season, they were tough. They played really well lately. And Vic Beasley is playing great. Deion Jones is playing great. Neal is playing great. Hageman, Freeney, they're all playing great. I think the Falcons defense is actually is better than people give them credit for. It's a tall order to... you know, we have more talent than the Patriots do. The Patriots are very well coached, and they have really great schemes. And Brady's a better quarterback than Ryan at this point. I mean, I just think he's got the experience there slightly. I mean, I love Matt Ryan. But I think the Falcons have a slight edge. So I'm going to say I'm right around maybe just a little bit lower than Curtis, 5.5. What about you, Stevie?
I will go with a 5 as well. I do think it's a toss up. You know, you have the greatest coach ever, which is a nice sort of plus on the Patriots side. I think that the narrative at the end of the game is going to be that either the Falcons defense had not matured and was not as good as we thought it was after it looked to be that way after the bye, or that what you said, Hammy, that the Patriots defense really was not that good and all those bottom tier quarterbacks they played, they got exposed by this Falcons offense. You know what I mean? I really think that's how it goes. I think this is about which defense steps up more. And there's question marks kind of on either side. It's really a fascinating game. But I like the Falcons offense better than the Patriots offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that Dan Quinn has, you know, coached against the Patriots in two of the last three Super Bowls doesn't hurt. This team, the Falcons are for real. Yeah. What's that?
He beat the Broncos and then he lost to the Patriots. So he hasn't faced the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. This will be his second time, I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. That's right.
Just trying to keep the facts straight so you don't get blown up on Twitter.
Yeah, but I think absolutely 100% the Falcons can win this game. And it's been the longest 2 weeks ever. It's only been a week.
Ugh. You should live in New England.
Yeah. You enjoying that, Henry?
Yeah. I mean, I know that sports talk radio, and this, of course, we are ostensibly the same thing. It's not the most highbrow thing, but they really take the lowbrow to a new form here. Now I understand why people say wicked retarded.
All right, on that note, let's get back to the Braves, guys. So lots of additions and departures to cover. Let's start on additions and the starting pitching rotation. So on December 1st, the Braves traded right-hander Chris Ellis and right-hander John Gant, as well as Luke Dykstra, second baseman, to the Cardinals for left-handed pitcher Jaime Garcia. So, guys, the Braves are paying Garcia $12 million this year, which means he will at least start the year in the rotation. So what do you think about the addition, Hammy?
I like it. I like it. I mean, he's a 31-year-old pitcher, so he's half the age of either Dickey or Cologne. You know, he will be 2 years removed from a 10-6, 2.46 ERA season. So, and that was in 2015. So he can pitch, right? He's got the stuff. Question marks, can he stay healthy? Is he still that same pitcher? I definitely don't mind giving up those guys for Garcia. I don't think we lost anything there. I think he's a good addition. I think he makes us better. We're better for having him on the team.
Yeah, good that he's a lefty. We know he can do it. I agree. Injury questions. So it's a little, you know, it feels a little expensive for $12 million, but we know there's more money in the payroll this year. So, yeah, I mean, I'm for it too. Curtis?
Yeah, I mean, I all the reasons you guys gave, I guess hopefully that this last season where he was not that great was attributable to his injuries and things like that. They were never going to end up getting Chris Sale or somebody like that. They were just not going to be willing to meet the market for those guys. And so they have obviously a glut of pitchers and a lot of these lower level guys are just going to be passed up and they might as well use them to sort of fill some slots that they have now. So yeah, no problem with it whatsoever.
Kurt, do you like Tehran, Cologne, Dickey, Garcia? I mean, those four are set. We know that the fifth spot's open, right? It'll probably be faulty, short of something really remarkable happening in spring training. What do you think about 1 through 4?
I mean, entertainment value, it's high. Dickey was about to retire, probably wouldn't have taken another job if it wasn't for the Braves. Garcia wasn't great last year. Cologne is a miracle. But I guess the question that I have on all of this is I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to eat innings. They're trying not to have to get into their bullpen as much. And they're trying to sort of have a fill year where some guys can develop and they can be ready to go next year. But I guess my concern is that if all that plays out accordingly, And even if they trade one of these guys at the trade deadline, you're still going to have an amazingly young rotation next year. So I guess my only problem with it is I would rather see maybe a couple of guys in the starting rotation and see. And I know we saw Whistler and Blair and all those guys last year, but just to get a little more seasoning. So when we do have to rely on more than one of these guys, that they've got more major league experience than us having three of these guys starting next year for us that have never had any major league or had very minimal major league experience.
See, Chris, I would take the other. Sorry, Steve, I would take the other side of that, because I just felt like last year having three guys, and I totally hear what you're saying, but you know, a counterpoint is having three guys fighting for spots all year long was just chaotic and nerve-wracking. I mean, we had no stability in the rotation last year. And I actually think, maybe I'm foolish, and we'll get to this down, later in the show, I feel like we're competitive this year. And I feel like we're going to build on a competitive team, that this is not a wasted year for us. And so I sort of like having four guys who are stable, and then there's only one spot where people are fighting for that spot, and we don't have so many question marks in the rotation. So I think it could work out for us. And I also think if we're competitive this year, and let's say we win 80 something games, and I think we need these four to be able to sort of hope for that, then that's something to build off as we go into next season. Is the Dansbys and the Whistlers and all those guys are like, they know what it's like to be competitive, and we're actually that much closer to it.
Yeah, and the other thing, there's certainly a likelihood that there's a combination of Whistler, Blair, or Newcomb look great in the first half in AAA, and they flip one of these guys and replace them with one of those guys for the second half. You know, Kerr, and then you're seeing two of the younger guys in the rotation for the second half of the year.
Sure, and Blair was terrible, and Whistler was terrible. So it's not like I want another year where every fourth or fifth start is a dumpster fire. So and the bullpen is also young, so we certainly want to save them. We don't want to see the repeat of ruining careers because we overpitch guys and things like that. So yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you on that end. I guess we're still sort of in this transition period. To me, I'm not quite really ready to buy that they're going to be competing for a playoff spot just yet. So I guess I would, at this point, would prefer to see them have some guys up learning.
Yeah, Kurt, let me remind you about that secret email we got from the Braves. We're not supposed to say transitional period anymore.
Right.
No transition, no right. Rebuilding. Remember?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. My bad.
All right. Back to the show.
But they also, I mean, Cologne, Dickey, Garcia, what are the odds of each of those guys averaging 175 to 200 innings? It feels like more of a long shot than maybe it has in the past. So, I don't know. I guess we just, with having, I don't know, having Garcia added to that, it just gives us a little bit more chance of having veterans for the long term anchoring the bullpen. I don't know.
So, guys, on the position player side, the Braves signed super utility infielder Sean Rodriguez from the Pirates at the end of November. So this is basically, as I see it, insurance right against Adonis or Jace falling off the map. So, Curtis, your thoughts on this? What do you like about the Sean Rodriguez signing?
I think it's a great move because he can play so many different positions. He's obviously coming off a career year, which I guess would be the only thing that would make me nervous. But yeah, I think that this is a really crafty move. They sort of swept him and signed him before anybody really, I guess, seems like had a chance to go out and grab him. But it's a great bench player that it will probably play five times a week, because he will play third, he will play second, he will play the outfield. So it's one of these sort of super utility players that are so important to any team to have. And no, I think it's a great move. I guess my only concern is that his career is not quite as great as his season was last year. But is a utility guy. This is the exact type of player that you want. And he's, what is it, like $5 million a year? That's not too bad against your payroll either.
Yeah. Kurt, one of my notes on this also said he's going to play five out of every 7 days. I agree. They're going to put him all over the place. If his bat holds up, I mean, his slash line last year was 270, 349, 510, 18 home runs.
Yeah, I was just going to say
please.
That. Yeah, I mean, that's I'll take that over Jace anytime.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Steve, you're not allowed to say that Adonis is going to backslide, you traitor. But you guys are right. I mean, we've, you know, Omar Infante, Martin Prado, right? Those types. You need those types of guys. The Cubs have them. Winning teams have those people who can either, you know, come in late in the game for a defensive reason, to pinch hit, fill in for injuries so that, you know, you don't miss a big beat when you have an injury. And he's that guy. So I think it's more than just backsliding. I think it's you need a super utility infielder to be competitive, whatever, sorry, to not be transitional. And I think that I think that's a great move for the Braves. That was a steal.
So Ham, last week the Braves signed veteran catcher Kurt Suzuki. So he is, by all accounts, the backup catcher to Tyler Flowers. He's displaced Anthony Recker, who I assume will be depth in the minor leagues. Tuffy Goswich was released after the Kurt Suzuki signing, so there's going to be no Tuffy Wrecker battle.
Our Tukey Tuffy battery.
Yes, that's right. So, Ham, do you like it? Do you think it's an upgrade?
I do. I could see Flowers coming down to earth a little bit. I think Suzuki gives us a more reliable option to step up if needed. You know, Grant Wrecker had a better season last year than Suzuki, although he had many, many fewer games. But,
sure,
you know, Wrecker and Suzuki are both 33, and Suzuki has a ton more experience than Wrecker does. Also, I don't know, Suzuki spent his career in the AL, so maybe there's a little bit of boost of him coming over to the NL and not having seen a lot of these pitchers before. So I'm okay with this move. I don't think Suzuki is the guy who's, you know, all of a sudden he makes us a contender and he's the catcher that answers all of our prayers. But I do think he's an upgrade over the Flowers Wrecker combo.
Curtis?
Yeah, he struggled. He had a bad 2015, but he had a nice bounce back last year. This is a guy that has been an all-star. I mean, you know, had a season where he batted .288. So it's not like he's Anthony Recker. No offense to Anthony Recker, that you know, basically had a career year last year at 33. So they're not really sure how much they can rely on Recker repeating that. Like you said, he's going to be depth at Gwinnett. And Suzuki, I guess the concern I have about Suzuki, I'm just going to play the concerns I have about. But he's not a great defensive player. His defensive metrics are not terrific. But as a backup catcher, he's solid as he can be. And it's a guy who's been an all-star in the major leagues before. So he has experience. He has, you know, he's been down this road before. Wasn't he with Oakland with that young staff in Oakland, didn't he, where he played forever?
That's where he started.
So, you know, obviously so he's worked with young pitchers and that great staff back in the day. So maybe that's another reason why they brought him in, is he can work with well, I guess he's not going to be working with young pitchers. He's going to be working with guys who are 400 years old. I think it's a great move.
But he could be the guy who catches Folty or Whistler or Blair, whoever that fifth starter is, right?
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is about managing risk. You know, it's not a game changer. He's the backup. He's better than Recker. He and Flowers are both bottom in the league in defensive war, caught stealing, you know, all that stuff, right? Catching spots just not going to be strong for the team. But I feel a little better about having Suzuki there if Flowers is out for an extended period than all of a sudden, you know, Wreckers are starting catcher for 3 months. That would not have been so good.
No.
All right. So the Braves revisited the past this offseason in signing Eric O'Flaherty, Blaine Boyer, and Jordan Walden to minor league deals. So, Curtis, who do you hold out the most hope for in making the big team out of that three?
Well, I guess it's Jordan Walden. I mean, Jordan Walden didn't pitch at all last year.
Two seasons, really.
No, he did.
Yeah. He didn't.
But it was
he
like
pitched
it was
in 2015, like, but it was only 12
games.
Like 10
innings.
So, yeah. So, if the Jordan Walden we all remember was so good, obviously missing a year and a half, I don't know how much he's going to be able to regain from that. Blaine Boyer was really sort of average for Milwaukee last year. So he 395. He walked almost as many guys as he struck out. So I don't see that there's a place for him. So I'm more rooting that Jordan Walden can regain some form and he can be a part of it. I don't see what they're going to get out of Blaine Bowyer.
And what about O'Flaherty? You think he's done?
He's so done.
Yeah. That's what I mean. He's so done. Yeah. You know, part of me just emotionally would like for him to have the inside track here. Plus, he's a lefty, and so you like that. But he's so done. I agree. I think it's Walden. You know, Bowyer could serviceably eat some innings late, but I think Walden has the highest ceiling here. If he can come back from his injury, I mean, he looked good in his 10 innings pitched in 2015. I think he's still got stuff. He's maybe more of a question mark than those other guys, but I think his upside is higher than both of them by far.
Yeah, I mean, Walden had arm and shoulder problems, you know. None of that's good, but he's the youngest of all of them. I mean, Bowyer, yes. You know, he has the best shot of making the team on January 29th because he's not injured and he pitched last year. But, you know, who wants him? Like you said, Kurt, he was very average last year. I mean, I'd rather have a young guy than Bowyer at that point. So I agree. I'm rooting most for Walden. I still love EOF, but I just think there's no chance there. Would love to see Walden regain some of that old form.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, last but not least, the Braves signed Chris Medlin to a minor league deal a few days ago.
The best move of the offseason.
Well, sure.
World Series winner.
Obviously, organizational depth. He's not even healthy enough to get a spring training invite. It would be great if something came of it. I don't expect any of it to, but nice to have Chris Medlin back in a Braves uniform, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And to get that text from you that had all those hearts in it when you found out that they had signed Chris Medlin to a minor league deal.
Look, you know, you feel the way you feel, Kurt. Yeah. All right. So some unexpected departures, guys. Let's start December 8th. The Braves traded Bradley Fiegel. I couldn't believe. No. I'm sorry, Brady, by the way, and Tyrell Jenkins.
Case in point.
Yeah, to the Texas Rangers for Luke Jackson. So, Curtis, thoughts on losing Tyrell?
I was sort of bummed. I'm not going to lie. I developed an affinity. The glasses. I mean, he was just a fun character and seemed like everything I saw, it seemed like a very nice kid. And even worse, so.
All of that.
Yeah, and just when, you know, when they traded him and then he moved around, like, and now he's on the Padres because he got picked up by the Reds or something. And then everybody was trying to, you know, put him through waivers and he was getting picked up, which was good. I mean, I think people still believe in him. Obviously there was not going to be space for Tyrell. He was not going to be a starting pitcher. And I think they just sort of lost faith in him as he pitched more. He wasn't that great he had a couple of great outings, but then he sort of fell apart for him. So I was sorry to see him go just because I thought he was a neat kid, but I'm wishing for the best for him. But I just don't think the Braves obviously felt like there was a place for him anymore.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they could still get something for him, that's why you move him, right? Because they gave him a pretty decent shot, 8 starts. He had a 6.3 ERA, 6 relief appearances, a 4.5 ERA. So he didn't exactly kill it. They could still get something for him. I hate it. Like I said, as a fan, I just thought he was great and I had very high hopes for him and all of that. But so aside from the fandom, I think it was probably a good move. Hammy?
Yeah, you guys said it all. I liked him. I love his name more than anything. I feel bad for him. I hope he catches on somewhere and, you know, doesn't keep getting passed around like a, you know, leftover Thanksgiving dish.
All right. Good.
Yes,
I like
that. Made that. I'm trying that one out I'm trying out some phrases for the regular season here.
All right. So, Ham, in mid-January, the Braves traded Malik Smith and Shea Simmons to the Mariners for 2 lefties. Do you like that trade?
So, no, I don't. And to be fair, I don't really know enough about Gohara and Burroughs. I know Burroughs pitched for Alabama, so he, you know, did well in the SEC. So he knows Saban, which makes him horrible. You know, so Tyrell Jenkins, I liked emotionally, personally, all the reasons you guys said. I really feel like Malik Smith, we need him. I feel like he was a, so he leaves us now. So our backup – outfielders to Kemp, who is not a sure thing, and Ender and Markakis are Rodriguez, who we talked about. We have Chase Darnold is another backup. Emilio Bonifacio, I know you love him, Steve. So I'm sad that to see him go because I like Malik, and I feel like we're not better off for that in the short term. Maybe these guys, those left-handed pitchers, you always want 20-something left-handed pitchers. You know, obviously they're good to have. But I feel like we're worse off for losing Malik. And, you know, I think Shea Simmons was serviceable. I think he could have provided value in the bullpen. So it makes me wonder, do the Braves feel like Dustin Peterson is ready? Do they really feel like they needed those two guys, those two pitchers, and it was worth giving up Malik Smith for that? I don't know, but I think this was maybe the biggest head-scratcher for me in the offseason moves and the one I like the least.
Curtis?
Well, Gohara was their number three prospect, and Burroughs was their number 25 prospect. So it's pretty amazing that you were able to pry two top 25 prospects out of them. Both obviously low down in their system. Gohara going to be a starter and Burroughs is a reliever. As far as Malik, yeah, I'm with you, Ham. I just feel like he was it. That's just that speed, that, you know, the ability to play all the outfield positions, I think even if he wasn't going to crack through, really makes him an important piece that they could have on their bench as a pinch runner, whatever. I think that they maybe are sort of falling in love with Dustin Peterson, and maybe they felt like Malik was tradable because of that. Shea Simmons, you know, the injuries obviously played a big part in that. He was great when he was healthy, but we just never really got to see him come back in full health. So you had to give up somebody to get these pieces. I'm just curious as to, again, we've talked about this 1,000 times, why more pitchers?
Well, I think another big piece of this is the 5-year extension that Ender got, which was a steal, by the way, for $30 million.
Oh my God. But yes.
Amazing.
Amazing.
But I think, you know, the fact that extension came down, it made Malik more expendable. Yeah, I think Dustin Peterson's ascendance has, plays a part in it. Malik did not really, you know, kill it in the majors last year with his 238, 316, 365 slash line. And they, you know, maybe it was a calculated risk of this guy is really not going to develop into what we thought. We can get something for him now. Let's sell high on him. Look, I loved him too. I loved Malik too, but I don't know. From a baseball perspective, I don't think it was that bad an idea.
Hmm. Well, the Braves, wherever Gohara is going to be, if he's going to be at A or double A, I mean, the pitching rotations that the Braves are going to be able to throw out at those two levels are going to be pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
So the biggest piece of news, I think, that we haven't covered yet is that the Braves released Williams Perez. There was a time that Williams Perez was a pretty nice piece. Obviously, you know, you let Williams Perez go because he really wasn't even good enough to be organizational depth at this point. But I just want to take a moment to talk about that 8-inning, 2-hit, 1-run, 0-walk Maddox-like performance he had last year against the Phillies that I just happened to be at that game. It was, you know, it was a 2.5-hour, maybe even 2:20. And he was the best pitcher on the planet that night.
And wasn't that the game? That's the one thing I was going to make of note there is, wasn't that the game where he was like a last minute?
Yeah, because who got traded? Some guy
Jules Shaken.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was Jules Shaken. I think that's absolutely right. And and Perez had to make an emergency start and just was
lights out,
untouchable.
And he had more than one. I mean, that was by far the most noticeable. But he had other starts like that. He had one or two where he was like, just like calm. You know, we were on a losing streak or something. He came through and was really dominant. You know, five or six innings of shutout, one hit ball. But
wasn't that in the 15 season, not the 16 season?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
I may be mixing it up.
No, you're right though. But I mean, two seasons. I think he was likable. He sort of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, totally.
I wish him well.
Exactly. All right, guys, so let's look ahead a little bit. So the Braves announced the non-roster invitees to spring training. So, Hammy, who are you most excited to see?
Well, we mentioned Dustin Peterson, and so I'm excited to see what that's all about, what all the hype is all about. Obviously, I think Ozzie is on there as well. I'm excited to see how he's bouncing back from his injury. And then the only other one would be Travis Demeritt. I'm interested to see what we have there, right? And again, we have all these guys that are young, 21, 20-year-olds who have potential and will be here very quickly. So I'm excited to see those guys. And obviously Bonifacio.
Curtis?
Yeah, Demeritt was the one I had sort of highlighted. I'm curious to see. I guess the book on him has long been that he's not a great hitter, but he's got a lot of power. So I mean, 28 homers last year, that's pretty great. And he hit pretty well last year. So I'm definitely – he is at the top of my list to see, because you can't have enough – infielders, and maybe he can be converted to a third baseman at some point. I don't know, but I am really excited to see what he's got to offer.
Yeah, I mean, I had those guys. I want to throw AJ Minter on there, who killed it in A and double A last year. 31 games, 34 two-thirds innings, a 1.3 ERA, and a 0.84 whip. You know, this was the guy that, like, was going to be a first rounder, but got injured and dropped to 75. We got him in 2015, and the Braves didn't even pitch him in 2015 at all. Brought him back real slow this year, and he just was dominant. It's totally dominant. So it'd be good to see him. And then Sean Newcomb. You know, he's going to make the jump one of these days, or not, I guess. But this is a good place to start seeing it. And he finished strong last year, 2.7 ERA over his last 10 starts. So it would be good to get a big dose of Sean Newcomb in spring training and see how far he's come.
It's going to be exciting. It's going to be an exciting spring.
Absolutely. So, guys, short of another huge move, these are the pieces that the Braves will have heading into the 2017 season. So, Kurt, on January 29th, what's your wins prediction?
78.
Oh, Curtis. All right, Hammy.
Are you in like the low 90s, Steve?
Low 90s. High hundreds.
It's early. I'm conservative right now. So we won. I know it says we won 68 games, but we didn't get to play a full season because there were rainouts. So I think we would have won 69 since we were the best team. Since we were the best team in the National League second half. I think we're 15 games better than we were. So maybe I'm even crazy as Steve. I think we are going to win 84 games, just over 500.
Yes, I started at 84, Hammy. I bumped up to 86 before I finished my thinking on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. They are going to be 500 or a couple games over. I really believe that. There's just too much. There's just too much talent that we saw last year. And the starting rotation should be demonstrably better.
Well, that's it. I mean, the offense, once Ender was healthy, second half of the season, and we got Kemp, right? I mean, Freddie Freeman was one of the best players on the planet in the second half of the season last year. The offense was legit. It wasn't fluky.
Dansby, too. You know,
yeah,
Dan.
and they're all coming back, right? And so I just think – and then our pitching is better. Our pitching is more stable. We're going to get more wins. I think we're legitimately 15 games better than we were last year, 15 wins.
You know, I hadn't even really thought about the fact that we're going to get a full season of Dansby. It's going to be really exciting. Yeah.
And then we have all this talent waiting to come up. Future is bright for us.
Future is bright. All right, folks, that is the show. We'll be back with more shows as spring training gets closer. And remember, we're at our new home of Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. As always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk, and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.